Maybe we'll start off at Whitehall Court. We will near the Royal Horse Guards Hotel, and just have a look at one. For example, the Royal Tank, it's the Tank Regiment and Machine Gunners. Wonderful statue monument. It's ground level. One of these ones without a
About time as well, yeah.
And they're big, big men, happy men, looking happy, standing together there. And then one, you know,
and
then
Machine Gunners. And where is
this? This is by the Northumberland Avenue, Whitehall Court it is.
Right.
Just off of Whitehall, by the Royal Horse Guards Hotel. And at the base of it, it just says, through mud, through blood, to the green fields beyond. Now, that's the only time I've ever felt a statement could possibly justify war. Because we have to be honest, when you go to war, it means diplomacy has failed.
Yeah.
To go to war means we've failed. It's the worst thing to do, to want to destroy, to kill others.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be done lightly. And I don't believe it is. I don't believe those decisions are made ever and done lightly. But it's happened, and it still happens, and it probably will still happen in the future. But it's a failure. When you end up having to bear arms against a fellow human being, it means we've failed.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides. You know, so, but that's the only time I've ever seen a statement on any monument, in the sense that, like, through the mud, through the blood, that there are green fields somewhere.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the poppy shortly and how that come about. I think that's important to look how that come about and what happened in the war. Because it actually dates back to Napoleonic times, it does, where the poppy started to go.
Oh, I didn't know that, John.
Yeah. I mean, well, we could talk about it now. It was the Napoleonic Wars in France and in Belgium, where, after all the death and destruction, the poppy come up when the earth was all, you know, literally torn to pieces. And that's when the poppy grew. And then the same happened in the First World War. You know, and then it was an American, who decided to sell a poppy, and then it was taken up over here. It was an American who was, it says it, to do, involve the, with the war it was. So it's, you know, it's, because let's remember, America lost many.
Yeah.
You know, they got involved in the First and Second World Wars, and it's like, so the poppy is a wonderful symbol, and the fact that, you know, men had died, people are there lying in the ground now on all sides, European wars, and then this plant grows. And you think now where our soldiers are now in Afghanistan, and the poppy grows, isn't it?
Mm.
And the destruction that plant can create. Yet there it is, a symbol here.
Yeah.
I think that's something odd there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That there we have a plant that can destroy life, and at the same time, though, we wear it, and out of death, it's grown itself out of the ground. It's so odd. That I think, to me, there's a cliche there.
I know, poppies, it's an amazing plant, can lay dormant for, you know, hundreds of years and then suddenly flower, yeah. And as you said, the irony is it celebrates or it commemorates the death of so many young men, mainly young men, and it also heralds the ultimate destruction of many more young people today, you know, the opium poppies, yeah.
Definitely. But just take a little walk up Whitehall Court. And we're going to turn right into Horse Guards Road, and what we'll see then is a memorial on the right hand side, an MOD building on our left. Mm-hmm. Or you can see that at Whitehall, dead ahead of you, and immediately on your right is a memorial to the Gurkhas. And on a sad day the day before, a member of the Royal 2nd Battalion, it was the Royal Gurkha Rifles, died in Afghanistan. It's so odd, isn't it? You know, again, these brave, wonderful people that come from Nepal, who volunteer to fight for our queen and country.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God, you know, recently, wasn't it? Thank God, I say that. It was Joanna Lumley and many others, they won that High Court, and a judge said, like, give them leave to stay here.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant news then this week that even someone senior in Met Police would love them to join. I would too.
Yeah, so would I.
You know what I mean?
You'd want them on your side than against you.
Yeah, and don't ever be with them if they've got to pull that knife out.
Oh.
They have to draw blood, don't they? But again, it's on a plinth. And maybe that one deserves being a plinth, it does, in the sense, and it's just there, and it's just a Gurkha looking proud, and it's a beautiful memorial. And some friends of mine I've been working with, they've been photographing all these, and even they've been shocked and stunned when you get near them. They really have. It's very moving when you go past these. So if you're in the area, have a good stroll, because what happens now, when you get down to the end of the road, you're at Whitehall, you'll be, and we'll talk about another couple of memorials. One's to Haig. A controversial field marshal,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that this man, you know, a lot of people felt he believed people had to die, the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Again, I think you have to judge people in the time they're in. Would that happen now? Would we get 1 million people join and a war now.
I don't think we will.
No, I think people would join and volunteer. But I think people would question, like they have done, and rightly so. We're in a different time, but
I don't think we'll ever have a war like we did in the Second World War. I don't think it'll be one country dressed in one uniform against another country dressed in another uniform. I think those days are now over.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, they're gone. They're over.
Just because, I mean, like, it's the easiest thing in the world to obliterate a field full of men by pushing a button somewhere 2,000 miles away.
Completely.
So, the hand-to-hand combat of two armies doesn't seem to be applicable. I mean, it is hand-to-hand combat in Afghanistan, but you're fighting an army that is anonymous. Whereas when you was fighting the Germans, when we was fighting the Japanese, you could tell who your enemy was. And I don't think that will ever happen again.
But here's a bit about Haig. I mean, he was, when World War I broke out, he commanded the British First Corps as part of the British Expeditionary Force and became Commander-in-Chief in 1915. But here's just like Field Marshal Haig in 1916. This is what he said. And can you imagine someone saying this to you now? The nation must be taught to bear losses. No amount of skill on the part of the higher commanders, no training on the part of the officers and men, no superiority of arms and ammunition will enable victories to be won without the sacrifice of men's lives. The nation must be prepared to see heavy casualty lists. And, it just wouldn't happen today. And in a sense, thank God it wouldn't happen today again. And it just puts in, when you think, people just dug trenches. People were told to go over the top. People were machine gunned down. People were mustard gassed. We weren't even in the era of aerial bombardment. But it was just artillery, wasn't it? And then, you gained 100 yards, and then the following day you lost it. And that's frightening. I mean, there's that wonderful poem there, isn't it?
Well, I was going to finish with this poem, John, at the end of our talk, The Walk in Flanders Field by John McRae. I think it would be a fitting end to what I think is, it's that old saying, lest we forget. Mm. And I think that so many people do forget. They do forget the fact that we are privileged to live in times where we don't have to be put up, where we don't have to be conscripted in, to be sent away. I mean, it's like I teach my grandson about William Charles Wright, who was killed in Ypres at the age of 19. He was, he was killed a virgin, and he went off to war knowing that it would be, it would be hell. We've got his letters, we've got his medals, we've got his induction photographs. They never found his body.
My God.
But he's just one of hundreds of thousands that died, in a couple of days. Just young, that young teenage men, never seen anything. He lived in a village. And we will never, ever be in that situation.
No, and we should be... I mean, it's because of the sacrifice, I think, these people made that we're in this position that we're in now, to be able to speak freely, to criticise openly, to talk all night, and to disagree. And put some, people don't realise it. It's because of the sacrifice of others.
Without doubt, John. Without doubt. One thing that, there's one monument down Whitehall that always intrigues me, the Black Monument, one, Women in War.
The Women at War. I mean, this is very similar in stature and size to the Cenotaph. Jet black. Now, what it says is the women at war on the side, isn't it? And upon it are sculptures of the different uniforms that were worn by the women, of the jobs they done. The task, like there's one of a welder's hat. These women, they took on male tasks, male jobs. I mean, they were building planes. They were doing the work in the factories, munitions. I mean, tasks that, normally their loved ones would be doing. Mm. And this is a fantastic monument. The lettering now on that monument is in the same typeface that appeared upon ration books. And that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it. Like we've always said, when you go past anything in London, especially, or in this country, it's done for a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason why things are done in a certain way.
I'm not sure I like the black, though.
No, on a dark, eerie night, like a foggy night, a damp night, a wet night, I'm not so sure sometimes.
Mm.
Because all the buildings around are quite clean, white Portland stone.
Yeah.
But it does stand out. And has he done it for that reason? Was it done for that reason?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. But I like the monument itself. I like the sculptures upon it. I really do. I like the lettering. I've been up there. I've touched it. I've filmed around it. It's and when you get near these monuments, there's something. Oh, it's like you do get a shiver.
During the, I mean, you know, like out of. Well, I mean, like now, could you actually cross over and stand at the cenotaph?
Yes, you've got to be careful. It's a busy road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what you will notice, anyone that comes along on Sunday, pops along, you will certainly notice it's different, Whitehall, Parliament Street. It's different because the times are in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice outside the Treasury, the balustrades that have gone up. And they measure, it's the time we're in. The pavements are slightly wider.
Yeah.
They're relaying the tarmac they were last night. They're doing it tonight. Some of the temporary, well, there's some temporary wooden covers on some of the balustrades that haven't been finished. And it's a mark of the time we're in. I mean, these are anti-lorry bomb barriers that have gone up. And it's sad. You know, even now, and it's in, you know, when you think in the year 2008, conflict still upon us, and still we're unable, all of us, to be able to talk, it seems. For some reason, we want to pick up a weapon and destroy each other. And, you know, again, like I started off with, maybe we just got to learn to speak to each other, and you know, no matter how awful, we're going to hear each other say, maybe, and just learn to, like, just dialogue. And that, because in the end, there is an end game to all this, and in the end, we will talk, we will speak to each other, and we will find solutions to problems. I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, you know, Northern Ireland the way it is now. Perfect, but it's certainly a lot better than what.
Well, they're not. The thing is, the IRA are not blowing up. They're not blowing up shopping centres anymore.
Yeah,
they're not blowing up buildings. They're not taking people out and kneecapping them. You know, there is no big fight between, you know, the orange and the green. So it's got to be a good thing.
But we. I mean, around this area, like I said, and have a look. You've got the Women at World War II, Hague, Spencer Compton. At the top of Horse Guards. Victoria Embankment's worth a little look, definitely, near Westminster Bridge. I mean, have a stroll around the area, that's what I'm really saying. I mean, there's no fixed route for this walk, and there doesn't need to be, because the main bit I'd like people to go and see if they can, at any time. But the next month is great. If you're up in London, you're shopping, just go to the Cenotaph. The Poppies are there for a few weeks, at the very, very least they are. It's worth going. I'm gonna run through the running order, what goes on in it,
shortly
about Remembrance Sunday. I think it's important to realise that who'll be there. Well, it's our head of the armed services, Her Majesty the Queen, her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, Duke of York, the Duke, Prince of Wales, the Princess Royal, the Duke of Kent, William of Wales, the Prime Minister, or David Cameron, obviously, Leader of the Opposition, Nick Clegg, it'll be Leader of the Liberal Democrats, the Foreign Secretary, all the Commonwealth High Commissioners, and representatives from the Army, the Navy, Royal Air Force, the Merchant Navy, the Fishing Fleets, and Civilian Services. A two-minute silence would be held at 11 a.m, because it was, remember, it was the 11th day, the 11th hour. That was when Armistice Day took place. So that's why, you know, on in November. So, I mean, and we'll have the silence in the week, obviously, on that exact day, but we also have the silence on the Sunday. It's on the closest Sunday to the 11th of November, unless it falls upon it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a Wednesday, it'll be the it'll be the one after, or if it was the Thursday, it'd be the Sunday after.
Do you know what I think they should do in central London? I think they should bring out the air raid sirens. And at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, rather than that whole silence, because it's like that's never observed. I mean, and now in football, they don't have a minute's silence, they have a minute's applause. And I think that works a lot better. I think what would be great in central London, and it would be the easiest thing in the world to do, is just have, at 11 o'clock, 2 minutes of air raid sirens. Because that would make everybody remember.
Yeah, it would make people's, I think, yeah, and I think it is right, if you can, like, you know, pull over. Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem you get is, I mean, you pull over, you're not with a parking ticket, things like that. And you don't want it to be like that in a city. We don't need that. I mean, but I do think it would be nice if just traffic lights even went to red, and just bring everyone to a halt.
Yeah.
And just pay the ultimate respect.
Yeah.
Because it's 90 years this year.
Yeah.
Since the end.
Incredible, eh?
90 long years. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also 90 years, it is the creation of the Royal Air Force. So they'll be leading. things this year.
And there's still a couple of old boys from the First World War that's going to be here, aren't
there? I know, into their 100 and, what is it, 9 or 10
years. Yeah.
I mean, it's a phenomenal age for some of these people. I mean, and I'll tell you what, driving a cab is a wonderful. This is when anyone is thinking of doing the Knowledge of London. This is one of the, I'll tell you this now, this is one of the weekends that when you will really enjoy London, when you get your badge. No matter how many years you've been out, you're going to pick up people on Sunday, on Saturday night, dropping them off to the Union Jack Club down in Sandell Street in Waterloo, and up to the ex-services club in Seymour Street up near Marble Arch. But you'll pick up people that will have tales to tell, stories to tell. They'll bring tears to your eyes, and they'll also make you laugh. But they also like a good drink, some of them, and I think they deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, and then also a few of them will get cheap cab fares or free cab fares. That does happen. Talking to one of my colleagues today, Grant Davies, the London Cab Drivers Club, and he said, you know, something, you just can't do it. You can't take the money off them. You can't. Something happens, you get a bond of connection with someone,
mm-hmm.
they tell you something, and you know, that moment when they've had a drink, it's gone. Their breath might smell when they've had a good drink, but when they start recounting the stories of the Second World War, because that's the majority you tend to meet now. And then, you know, like I said, you meet the people in the wheelchairs, those that have lost limbs, and it's the Falklands War. Gordon, one of my colleagues, I have a cup of tea with him always, Gordon. Falklands.
Yeah.
The Falklands War, you know, Scotsman he is. I mean, a proud man, and he was there last year. Well, I don't know if he'll be here this year on this particular service, but he was at the Falkland Veterans Ceremony last year in June. These are amazing people, and these are everyday people. They're ordinary people. You know, I always say it's the two H's go to war, the honourable and the ordinary.
Yeah.
And when I say the ordinary, I think most people know, like, when you pronounce your O's as a H or you drop them. I mean,
ordinary, yeah.
You know, the pedants out there probably won't like me saying that, but I think that's who do go to war, the honourable and the ordinary. The ordinary sometimes have no choice, and you're honourable because of the bloodline and the family. But in the end, everyone I've ever spoken to, you fight for your queen and country, but in the end, it's the man next to you you're trying to save because you hope he wants to save your life. And I think that is important. But I love not just watching that event, I love even the odd occasion going to it. And if I'm about Sunday and I'm up early or I stay out late Saturday night, maybe I'll just pop along, park the cab up, or just head back up to London. It is an amazing moment, and like I said, the television coverage is second to none. The music is the actual music itself is fixed. Royal Britannia, Heart of Oak, The Minstrel Boy, Men of Harlech, The Skyboat Song, The Isle of Beauty, David of the White Rock, Off the Still Night by John Stevenson, Flowers of the Forest. But then the most famous, I think, and the most moving of all, is by Edward Elgar, Enigma Variations and Nimrod. And that is just frightening. It's the music matches the moment, the music matches the monument.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, it will bring a tear to your eye. It really will. It's
it's stunning. I've watched it most years of my life, and it is stunning, because I always watch it and think about the Vietnam War, because it's you know, like, I was coming up to an age where I could have been conscripted. At the very end of the Vietnam War, I was nearing the age where if I'd have been in America, I would have been conscripted.
Hmm.
And so, you know, it hits me really hard, because it's like, hold up a minute, in my lifetime, I could have been sent out to foreign fields to be fighting an enemy. I didn't know who they were, and I actually didn't know what my beef was with them, you know, in terrain that would have, that could have scarred me in many ways, you know, killed me or scarred me in many ways. And so, yeah, I mean, lest we forget, you know, we are privileged people, you and I, John, and everybody else.
No, completely. And that's why you've got to, the very least you can do, if you see these people with their medals, they're walking about London, is bid them good day. Thank them, shake a hand. If you're in a bar or something, I honestly mean this, buy them a cup of tea or a pint even.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank them. That's all you've got to do.
Yep.
Nod at them. But, you know, just acknowledge the sacrifice that many of these people have made. It moves me, it does. It moves all my, I know all my colleagues. I
mean, yeah.
You know.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie. This will be on freelondonevents.com.
Yeah, I'm going to take some, I'll be doing the photographs this week for a change. I mean, give Colin a break. And got to get a couple more scripts up. I mean, this one you really have to experience. I mean, it's a short Talk the Walk, it's a simple Talk the Walk. You've got to get out there, and you've got a month, I'd say, like you have to pay some respects. And this weekend in London is like no other.
In Flanders Field the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the lark still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago, We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from fallen hands we throw. The torch be yours, to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.